may not sin against you. Amen. All right. I was thinking about these scriptures today and in my time with the Lord and just recently. Yes, very familiar verses. And, I heard this guy say this recently, this quote, which I really believe is true, but I've been asking the Lord to kind of get it more down in my spirit, you know. And one is that, God is not two-minded about us, right? The reason he's not two-minded about us, he's one-minded toward us because the person that he deals with is the person of the new creation, right? In Galatians chapter 5, in that great passage, you know, where we find the fruit of the Spirit, you know, he's telling us about walking by the power of the Spirit. And if we do that, we won't carry out the desires of the flesh. And he goes on and talks about all the what the flesh is and the deeds of the flesh, all these different things. Then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruits of the Spirit. We all know those. It says in verse 24, it says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And if we live by the Spirit," and the way that's written is, "if we live by the power of the Spirit, let us walk by that same power of the Spirit." Colossians tells us that those, as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You know, we're talking about walking in the power of the Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit's job is to bring forth everything that Christ did in us, right? Or to glorify the Christ who is within us. That's what He does. So walking by the power of the Spirit is just bringing forth the life of Christ within us. The fruit of the Spirit is the life of Christ, right? It's not two different people or two different things. So as we're walking in the power of the Spirit, that's just walking in who we are. And He puts this right in there to remind us that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified your flesh, right? In Romans, just really great. Romans chapter 6 is so good. For if we have become united with Christ in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing that our old self, the old man, was crucified with Him, in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. And just so much good stuff right in there. So we know in our union with Christ, one thing that that happened on the cross is the person who we were died, right? And now we became this brand new creation, this new creation in Christ Jesus. And even as talked about there, there's, you know, not just crucifying our flesh, is that all those desires, all those things, that are emotions and all those things that we were in the old man, Jesus crucified all those things on the cross. Okay? So they're dead. So God doesn't deal with a dead person. He's dead. He deals with the person that is alive. And we can spend a lot of our times in our walk with the Lord trying to battle with something that's already dead. So in other words, God doesn't deal with two people, two me's. He doesn't deal with the old me and the new me. He's already dealt with the old me. It's dead, right? It says this, and just familiar verses to us. Again, I'm going to read some few things I've written down here. "However," this is Romans chapter 8, "you are not in flesh, but in the Spirit." It's your new identity. "If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." Then he goes on about the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, living within us. Again, just reading a couple of these and I'll read some pretty cool stuff. This is in Ephesians chapter 4. "But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Jesus, taught in Him just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self, in the light, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Same thing in Colossians chapter 3, it talks about putting off and putting on, right? "So you have been free from the first day in your union with Him. The quality of life that you and I have in Jesus is the same quality that the Father and the Son and the Spirit have together. And there's no need or requirement to work on the old you. Right? It's dead. You are no longer a slave to sin because it's not your new nature. God doesn't see two of us. He sees one of us. There is no struggle with the old man. The dead are always at rest. You are simply attached to a habit and an old pattern of behavior, a memory or experience from the world of the flesh and of the devil. All these flesh patterns cannot be broken by focusing on them. It remains there if you focus on it. You ever found that to be true? It can only be broken by the new life within you. That is why the focus is always on the new creation. The Lord is not sin-focused or sin-conscious. Jesus dealt with that once and for all. He is righteousness-focused. And righteousness is our gift that we have from Him. And we know that Jesus became sin. He defeated sin. Sin no longer has power over us. So one of the things that from this particular guy, some of the stuff is quoting from him, is in your daily walk with Him, is how to learn to repent from things from the new creation. And there's a difference of repenting from, like, practicing the presence of the old man or that, right, where you just kind of focusing on it and you get so confessing and guilty because something you did, right? For instance, say you give in to anxiety. Anxiety just rising up within you because of a situation, and you give into it, you give into the fear, get all panicky and everything. Say, so when you are repenting of this, right, and you start focusing on the anxiety, repenting for the anxiety, you're actually focusing and repenting on something that you're dead to, right? Now, what I mean by repenting from the place of the new creation is what we need to do is repent for not receiving His peace in that situation. Or if I give in to anger, right, and I'm upset about that and I'm guilty, Lord, forgive me for the anger. Well, He's already put that to death. There I'm dealing with the Lord from something He has crucified. You get me? I'm actually dealing with the Lord from that old man, from the person that's dead. Because, oh, Lord, forgive me, I blew it. I gave into anger, and I shouldn't have given into anger. Forgive me for the sin of anger. No, what I need to repent of is not receiving His peace. Because He's dealing with me now as the new creation, not the old man, right? Because if my focus is on the failure or the anger or the fear or the whatever that I'm given into, that I've given into, and then I'm trying to perfect the old man. But if I celebrate that that's not who I am, and where I blew it was not receiving from His life within me, not walking in the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, which brings forth the Christ within me, see, that needs to be my whole focus of repentance. Because in that moment, I just didn't receive what He's already given me, or His life within me, right? The total difference, because if I get over here and I'm just beating myself up because I keep giving into this same thing all over again, then my relationship with God, I'm still trying to deal with Him from trying to perfect the old man when He killed him. He put him to death. What I need to do is get over here and say, gosh, Lord, I just didn't receive whatever, Your righteousness here, Your holiness here, whatever it is. That's what I need to focus on and think, well, Lord, give me another opportunity to be able to receive from Your life. And then that kind of pumps you up and gets you excited because the next time, and when you're tempted with the anger, whatever, then you're there to receive. Because His focus is on righteousness. His focus is on the new creation, not on the old man. The devil, our enemy of our soul, focuses always on the old man. And that which is dead and has been crucified and is no longer exists. You're a new creation. And that's who God deals with, the new creation. So if you learn how to repent from that new creation, then you're always trading up. There's always this thing in you that's excited because He's going to give you another chance to do it right. That's renewing, right? That's how His life comes within us. Because He doesn't deal with two of me. He deals with one of me. What I'm battling with is, Scripture talks about our battle is with our flesh, right? The old nature, old sin. And what I just read to you is this old patterns that He's just breaking within us. We repent for failing to do what is right in the nature of Jesus. To Him who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it. him at sin, right? So what I'm repenting for is failing to do or receiving from his nature, his power within me, his life within me. That's what I'm repenting for. Not repenting for blowing it and giving in to the sin, right? I'm dead to that. What I'm repenting of or changing my mind in is not doing what's right in his nature, receiving from his power. Does that make sense? Sin is just simply falling short of his glory. And when we fail to receive what Jesus died to give us, which is himself, that's what we repent of. You can't live in him and be ordinary. Repentance always restores us to the place of increase. And repentance should renew our expectation. Repentance restores us to a place of increase, and it renews our expectation. Because then we're just like, yes, I get to get another chance, and you'll get 1,000 chances, right? Total different. Take it out to the first spin, and just see how much the Lord just starts renewing you and sets you free from a sin consciousness instead of a righteous consciousness. Because I found myself when I, you know, if I give into that or impatience or, you know, same stuff we all give into, I don't beat myself up for that. I just think, whoa, wait a minute, Lord. I just didn't receive from you here. I didn't receive the abundance, everything that you died for. I just failed to receive it. That's what I'm repenting for. And then he just creates in you an excitement about getting another opportunity. We just missed the opportunity to draw from his life. Repentance reminds us of who we are in Christ and who we are as his sons, right? Repentance should not remind us of our sin. Repentance should remind us of who we are in Christ and who we are as sons and daughters. That's true repentance. We don't repent for our old nature because it's dead. We repent toward our new nature because it focuses our attention on what he is doing now. And it moves me toward my identity. We don't repent for our old nature because it's dead. We repent toward our new nature because it focuses our attention on his presence and what he's wanting to do right then and right now in me. And it moves me into my identity. Amen.